So hello, I'm with Kevin McAvenue. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. Name is Serge. Yes, hi, Serge.
So we're going to talk about whole body focusing.
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Well, it's a big word, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I didn't even coin it for myself, but it came in one of my sessions with someone who said, this is whole body focusing. And that felt so right. And she was a very experienced focuser, a very animated person, just a wonderful person. And what I saw was that she was having an experience of herself right through her whole body. And she just came up, and she had just like a wake-up call. She was just emanating energy right through her, and she was totally alive to her, not only to herself, but what she was dealing with in her life. And so that term has really fed itself in some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is what I saw, really, is that our focusing, our story, our revelations of our deeper meanings of ourselves can be accessed even more fully through the resource of the whole body, particularly if it's grounded through the environment, through our feet, through acceptance that our bodies know that it is a safe environment. It's in a safe environment to feel whatever it needs to feel.
Yeah.
So both the environment and the sense of grounding in that's important here.
Mm-hmm. So it's about, that fuller experience.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened is the moment where the phrase was coined is you had the phrase resonating with the experience of seeing that client, that woman,
yes,
having that fuller experience with her whole body.
Yes.
So it's not for you something that's a cognitive, definition. It really is an experience of the word resonating with that person.
Yes, I think I also would like to say that it named itself. And when I heard that name, it stuck because I knew it was right.
Yeah. Yeah, so in a way, maybe part of whole body focusing is seeing how it resonates with you and what it evokes for people. And
that's true. The very fact that that name is out there has attracted a lot of people over the years just because of the name. People seem to know something when they hear that name, something about themselves. So when I do, let's say, in the summer school and the institute, I often get a lot of interest just because of the name from people who have had no knowledge of focusing, and of course, no knowledge of whole body focusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it touches people in some way.
Yeah, yeah. So there's something about being in the whole body,
mm-hmm,
that people can resonate with.
Yes. Yes, they can really sense something for them in that.
Yeah. So how is it, how is it similar? How is it different? How does it, take off from regular focusing? If we could just put it this way, how is it the same, continuing in a different way?
Well, it's a difficult answer now. It would have been much easier 20 years ago because there were fewer people involved in focusing, and Gene was really the major teacher, and
mm-hmm.
And he, for one, and he's pretty clear about what it is for himself, and he keeps repeating that. He has continuously talked about what focusing is for him,
mm-hmm,
and he's consistent in that definition. And he's also recognized with delight and curiosity and support, recognizing for each of us who take it further into the world, it will be a whole new experience. And particularly someone like myself or other my colleagues, Anne Weiser Connell, for example, and there's so many others I could name, we've taken what his initial naming of an experience in a variety of different directions. I could say something about what he says as what focusing is, and then I could say something about what whole body focusing is in relationship to that.
Yes, and but what I'm hearing from you actually from here is that there's something misleading or not right in a way about saying what comparing or opposing focusing to whole body focusing. And there's something that feels right is that whole body focusing is pretty much focusing, and this is just the experience or taken into, you know, a slightly different mode or a variation of the experience. But it doesn't make sense to oppose the two of them.
Well, yes, because by its very nature, focusing is an inner experience of something inside ourselves that, that's connected to us. So it's a living experience, and depending upon who we are, we will live that particular felt-sensing experience differently and have different needs for that to manifest in us. Gene's simple definition is that it's being aware of something in our bodies connected to our life that is yet unclear, and giving it the support and the space to find its own clarity in some form or another. It could be word or image, movement, sound. That's really at the core of what focusing is, but it's lived in a whole variety of different ways, which is wonderful. And this has also one thing, another thing which I also think is extremely important, is that focusing is at the core of any discipline, or can be the core of any discipline, that makes that discipline come alive in a different way or makes it work better. It's like the engine to a car. You need the wheels, you need the structure, and you need the engine. So there's a relationship always between focusing and something, some structure in your own life that this inner experience is related to. So for me, for example, I was an Alexander teacher, and it was natural for me to fit my felt sensing experience to the body posture experience that I have learned through the Alexander technique.
So maybe it makes sense, you know, to explore the similarities and difference of focusing and Alexander, and see how you you found a way to combine both.
There was a bit of transition for me. I think I have to name at the beginning, and that was that. How do I put this? I came to the Alexander technique because I had a back problem, a serious back problem, and the posture realignment was extremely helpful in healing, actually, the back problem, which I don't have now, and that's 35 years, and I was supposed to have had a degenerating disc problem, so that has really worked very well. But as becoming a teacher, one of the elements of the Alexander technique that I had difficulty living with was the teacher knows best how your posture ought to be and supports that knowing in your body. Either that's true, or my habit is to fit into the expectations of a teacher and the way they think you ought to be, rather than to find my own way of being and need the teacher to awaken an inner process where I could access this. So when focusing came along, I was already in dilemma about control and learning inner power work, and there was something about the focusing that, well, first of all, I knew it was right, because I'd had some experiences along the way with other disciplines where I would come alive from inside and do everything that Alexander dreamed we could do in terms of posture alignment and reorganizing ourselves, but from a wisdom that's deep in me and not from the teacher.
Right, so that difference between something of wisdom from the outside or predetermined,
yes,
versus getting the inner wisdom of your body and just letting it unfold.
Yes, and that's what the gentleman named for me as a possibility, that was an okay, that something in me knew how to be,
mm-hmm.
in a way that I didn't know, really. And that's amazing. Because, you know, I knew that and I didn't, but I had to have it named before I could own it and use it.
Yeah. So, you know, I want to just stay there for this thing of what you're saying is have it named. So in a way, there's something about, you're talking about, you know, following the wisdom of your body.
Mm-hmm.
But also the sense that it's okay to follow the wisdom of your body and of having it named, and once it's named, resonating with it.
Yeah.
So we're very much in a mode, even that, of knowing, that's about the focusing mode.
Yes. And like Gene himself said, he didn't invent anything, he just named something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an amazing, first of all, an amazing statement in itself. But it resonates with even more true than if he had said, well, I invented this thing called focusing, you know? He named something, and that touches me. I know that it's right, you know?
Yeah.
And I just took it a little further in terms of my, in a particular direction.
Mm-hmm.
To integrate, really, what I knew about the importance of postural manifestation or postural ways of being that seem to speak to what I'm carrying or how I'm carrying myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm beyond conscious awareness, so if I may be thinking I'm just fine, but if my body is saying something quite different visually, you know that there's some kind of disconnect here.
Mm-hmm.
And the Alexander technique was really addressing that issue and how difficult it is to change a postural behavior pattern.
Yeah.
Just through the thought process.
Yeah. Yeah. So just being confronted with changing posture.
Mm-hmm.
And, how posture, in your case, created a symptom of the back pain.
Yes.
But also is a series of habits, and you wanted to confront it from inside out.
That's right. It's a manifestation of a life story and how I carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess through... what can I say, mishaps or medications didn't help, all the various things that I thought from externally would fix the issue, I came to a realization, because of some situations, deliberate situations, that I would have to find those answers from inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happened. The inner wisdom started to come up about how my situation was and what was needed. Long before I knew Alexander technique, long before I knew focusing. That was a life crisis which I had to deal with. And something in me gave me the guidance that I didn't know I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that sense of... my posture is an emanation of who I am.
Yes.
And as I deal with who I am, and it's going to change my posture as a result.
Yes. So there's a relationship between who I am and my posture, and as I get in touch with the awareness of the posture itself, and begin to be able to be in relationship to it, it begins to change.
Mm-hmm.
And as it begins to change, my thinking patterns begin to change.
So So I want to just stay with what you said as I become aware of my posture. So obviously when you talk about awareness of your posture, we're talking about something different from, say, self-consciousness, nagging sense, oh, I'm not, you know, doing it right, you know. So what's that awareness?
Oh, good. Yeah, because that brings us into more of the essence of what whole body focusing is for me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that easy to become aware of posture. Particularly those postures that are unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that I learned to access any sense of awareness was through the feeling, finding a safe place, finding a physical sense of being grounded in this moment. I could just feel my feet on the floor, and that type of sensory awareness that lets me know that my feet are connected to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And how the floor can feed my feet in a way that tells me that it's a soft floor or a hard floor. And when it does that, my feet become more sensitive to the form they have. It's three, they're three-dimensional. They've got energy in them. So I'm already, my mindset's going into a kind of level of awareness that's it's very physical.
Yeah, and so when you're talking about grounding at that level, it's very literally grounding the connection between the physical connection between your feet and the floor.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. It sounds so simple,
mm-hmm.
but it isn't. It's extremely important, and it's not easy just to recognize how important it is, actually, as a starting point. And that's the starting point of the body becoming aware of itself. And I become more the observer, because if I can know my feet are in contact with the floor, I'm aware of something.
Mm-hmm. So, by the way, are your feet bare, or do you have shoes, or does it make a difference?
Usually either bare or socks, something that makes it easier for the connection so I can feel, oh yeah, there's that carpet. It's a nice carpet. It's wool, I think, or something, you know, some kind
of... So we're really talking about very literally that connection with, you know, the floor, the wooden floor, the carpet, the feet, you know, that really direct contact.
Yeah, and when that happens, the body seems to wake up to itself more. What does that mean? Or become more aware of itself. It means that you can feel tingling, you can feel flows of energy in different parts, you can feel a little bit of uncomfortable feelings in some parts of the body. So again, your attention is at that level, and you're becoming more discerning of what is actually going on in my body in this particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to be standing, because of the writing reflexes in the body, what normally happens is there's a slight swaying back and forth, or side to side, that the body does because it needs to maintain a sense of balance in gravitational space.
Mm-hmm.
So this kind of internal movement begins to happen automatically. And that's stimulating to the nervous system and to the whole sense of self, actually. That this very gentle movement, you're not doing it, you're just allowing, in fact, you're just allowing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to want to happen.
Or, yes. So that sense of observing and allowing the gentle movement.
Yeah. Stimulates the organism.
Mm-hmm.
And stimulates the mind-body connection. And then what happens, and it's all very natural, because it starts in a very natural way. You're just noticing what's going on. Because you're the observer, the body seems to be stimulated by that observation, by that awareness, actually. I want to mark that. Our awareness is extremely powerful. Just putting my attention to my feet causes all of this to happen, to unfold. And if I just let it unfold, more happens. So there's more comes into my awareness, and the more of me comes up gradually into my level of awareness. So I could say that all of me is now present to my consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I haven't done anything. I just noticed and just stayed there.
Yeah.
At the same time, the parts of me that need my attention start to surface. It's as though that those parts sense that Kevin is in a kind of open space right now. He's safe to be with.
Right.
So I'll show him something that I need to let him know about.
Yeah.
So those parts of me in my postural way of being that I'm unconscious of normally will begin to appear in their right order. So if whatever it senses that I'm ready to listen to will present itself.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously if there's a cutoff part that is too much for me and at this level of my own awareness, it won't show itself. But it's a natural selection happening. So this is really, if we talk about focusing, it's a kind of clearing a space and allowing the something that wants attention to appear organically.
Yeah, so allowing, you know, you really have established with your inside a sense of your openness and presence.
Yes.
And the different problems, issues can just show up.
Exactly. And but in a particular kind of way, because mm-hmm. what you've also created is a safe container
mm-hmm.
for the problems to be seen and to show themselves. And so a relationship...
And the safe container is the grounded body.
Yes, the whole body grounded, supported by the environment,
mm-hmm.
feeling itself solidly in this particular moment, in this, you know, chair, floor, whatever that's there.
Right, so that in a way... any problem is only a part of the body and it's grounded in the whole of the body.
It is experienced as only part of the body. You're absolutely right. It's
so you're not
the
drowning into the problem, but you have
no.
a sense of more than the problem.
You maintain, and that's another aspect of whole body focusing. It's a relationship between the sense of all of me as a container
mm-hmm.
and a particular part of me that wants my attention.
So by definition, you're always going to be more to you than the problem.
Yes. In fact, there's a kind of consciousness in this sort of slightly elevated, I'm not lost in the whole of me, and I'm not lost in the part that wants the attention. My consciousness is actually moving back and forth
mm-hmm.
in its own wisdom about how to be with both. And I'm just noticing this. And then that. So in fact, it could be a several problems, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Until something moves.
So there's already also a state of flow.
There's already a state of flow, right. And what's important here is, and unusual, is to say that, okay, there's my well-being. Let's say there's me here, and maybe it's a really good feeling of me. And I like that. And then there's this other part that wants attention that's really unhappy about something, or uncomfortable, or in pain, or whatever the feeling, the felt sense of it happens to be right now. My attitude, or the attitude invited, is to hold both with equal positive regard.
Equal positive regard
yeah.
for the body as a whole and for the particular issue that's emerging.
Yes, because that's what's unusual. The normal tendency is to, oh, this is something to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm suggesting that the way it's presenting itself, which is actually a physical part of herself that carries the issue,
mm-hmm.
it's allowing that physical part or respect for that physical part to have the room it needs to show you more of what it's carrying.
Yeah.
That's important.
And you can give it that room because you're not drowning in it. It's actually contained.
Yes.
Within that larger container.
Yes. And experience has shown us over and over that what's contained in that uncomfortable or painful thing is exactly there's an energy there. There's an aspect of it that the other parts of me need. It's essential to the growth of my well-being of sense of self. So that there is a good reason to give it equal.
Yeah,
positive
so instead
regard.
Of cutting it off, it's actually just, finding its energy.
Yeah. Yeah. This relates to, I go back about to Gene when he developed the dream theories and things.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved doing these in demonstration. He'd always like us to play act the various parts of the part we hated the most or most unlike us. And always that part had something wonderful to reveal to us about exactly what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
That not lived in a way that the dream perhaps is showing it. But in our bodies, it's completely different. So it was very exciting. This is the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. But so when you're talking about, the issue manifesting in some way, are we talking about a felt sense or a physical sensation, like a pain in the shoulder, or what?
Good point. How does it manifest?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's held as a felt sense, right? Is it unclear? It's a painful ugh. And the first thing is to let it know that it's okay to be there and to be more ugh.
Mm-hmm.
If it needs to be. Whatever it needs, it's okay because there's a safe containment for it. And then it may very well begin to manifest either more intensely or less, or it may connect with other parts of me. It begins to do something as though it has a mind of its own.
Mm-hmm.
So it has, in fact, that's a really vital. So it seems to, because it's given permission to be there, it becomes alive in its own integrity and starts to show itself in a variety of different ways. Sometimes it's through words, sometimes it's movement, sometimes it's connecting, and then they can change. And as though, my expression is feeling my awareness or feeling loved, feeling appreciated, it can awaken to its own possibilities of how to be now.
So in other words, that attitude of being with it and observing it is really a sense of almost expecting, knowing that it's going to unfold and it's not something static.
No, and suppressing that, being given the space and to become more self-aware of its own possibilities, it will move in a healing or a healthy direction.
Yeah. So is it, just the same kind of felt sense as you can experience when you're doing focusing sitting down, or is there a likelihood of having something that may be more physical, like, say, a tension or a pain, as opposed to something that's more strictly a felt sense?
Good question again. Because what it brings for me is it can be similar to a felt sense that's more traditionally talked about. But there's also something else, another dimension of it. Because of movement involved, and because it can manifest itself in a variety of different ways beyond words or towards understanding. In fact, it may not give a clarity of understanding as its first initial aliveness.
Mm-hmm.
It may move me physically from what is familiar in terms of posture alignment, or posture as a way of being with myself, to a whole new way of being myself that's lived in a whole body or postural kind of way, even before I understand what that's about. So I've actually had a whole different experience of my own possibilities as a person, and then this is so different from what I'm used to.
Yeah.
Kind of wakes up.
Right. So the regular focusing is a sense of the felt sense, and then at some point you get into some words in a handle.
Mm-hmm.
But in this thing, when the whole body focusing, you can actually follow the felt sense into movement.
Yes.
And then the movement itself would later go into something that's more conceptual.
Yes. The movement becomes the handle and actually acts as a bridge between what is known to what is not known.
Mm-hmm.
In a whole body or totally experiential way.
Yeah. Yeah, so movement is a bridge between the known and the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So that movement, that's the expression of the inside.
Yes.
Of the inner wisdom.
And then comes, from that, it takes me to a different place, a sense of self.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes a new sense of awareness and words that would say, would fit that. That were where the words would start coming in and say, well, yeah, that's what... This is what's happening now, or this is what, this is paradoxical. I mean, this is a paradox. I don't know how I got here, but here I am.
Right. So the sense I have is, in a way, what has happened is literally a reorganization, a changing of the organism.
Mm-hmm. A changing of the organism at that level. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so, you know, the concepts, the words that come, is from this different organism.
Yes.
This different context.
Yes. And I like what I said is that I don't know how I got here, but here I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Which in a way is really good, because I don't know how to go back either, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I have changed.
Yeah. Mm. So, you know, as we've talked about this, as we're coming toward the end of this conversation, is there something that, you know, would be needed to complete this as a very brief sense of what whole body focusing is?
Well, let's take a moment to see if there's something. Well, there. What seems to be emphasized more and more, and not just with me, but I know with my colleagues, is the importance of grounded presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I go at it in a particular way with whole body focusing. And there's something here about listening from that grounded presence that enables me to know how to be with you in a way that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
An example of that is, because of the condition which I'm grounded and present in my body as a whole, I seem to be able to access in me, and perhaps in you, because there's a connection happening, certainly if in this case,
mm-hmm.
there's a connection happening with you that helps me to find the words that are just right for you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a client, for example, I may not know what you need, but something in me does know in a way I couldn't possibly know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because there's something happening between us. It's almost like you let me know at some level what you need to hear from me. And the proof of that is when I say it, because when I put it out as a possibility, and I do it gently, I don't know what's, you know, but these are the words that come in me, it often hits the spot dead on.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the word is a kind of empathy for here, but it's like we both are accessing a level of connection that enables something to happen between us that's bigger than what we could have happened just on our own. And
yeah,
I think
that's not an explicit level of communication. But there is, by being grounded, that gives the possibility of being in attunement to that level that's not explicit, where a lot goes through, there's a lot of communication going on.
I think Jean calls this crossing. And I think that's what it's about. It's like my history, my whole way of being, in some way connects up with your whole being, that allows an information flow to happen between us. It gives me, particularly if we're dealing with an issue that's of mutual interest, it gives me a wisdom to be with the situation with you in a way that I wouldn't normally have. And I would say the more grounded I am in my body, the more centered I am in my core, and the easier it is to access this wonderful facility of communication.
Yeah, so that sense of, being grounded is actually what allows you to have more crossing.
Yes.
And being grounded is also something that's not a mystical concept, but is also a very real physical experience of paying attention to the body and simply of the feet as they connect to the floor.
Yes, it's as simple as that, and it's almost, humorously simple, but it starts there, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'd like to say is that my own edge of understanding or where it's going for me is the excitement, is the connecting with the different worlds of consciousness in this way.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kevin.
You're very welcome.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.